Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are moving fast today, strapping in for a real crash course in digital safety.
Yeah, lots to cover.
We pulled some, well, essential fast facts from recent advisories covering everything from AI wellness apps, you know, to the really crucial specifics of using platforms like YouTube and WhatsApp.
Mm.
Our mission, basically cut through the noise and distill the core safety nuggets you need to be well-informed.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Okay, let's unpack this.
Absolutely. And knowledge really is the foundation for managing, well, just the sheer speed of digital change.
It's incredibly fast.
Terrifyingly fast sometimes. But what's essential, I think, is recognizing that if you understand the specific mechanics of these risks, you're just far better equipped, better than just relying on, you know, general warnings.
Okay, so let's start with one of the newer risks, and frankly, one that's not immediately obvious. These AI chatbots and wellness apps being used for mental health.
Ah, yes. It's a big one.
The sources flag three major red flags, things we need to highlight for you. First, the advice. It might not actually be medically accurate.
Right. That's critical.
Second, huge privacy concerns. How's your most sensitive data being collected? How's it being used?
And that third point, maybe the most insidious, it's the risk that a child or, you know, even an overwhelmed adult might use these apps as a substitute.
Instead of getting real help.
Exactly. A substitute for seeking professional or reliable adult help when they genuinely need it. And this brings up a key point. AI, it needs to be framed clearly. It's a tool. It's not a qualified professional.
That makes total sense. But that tool, it's also driving culture now, isn't it?
Mm. In some ways, yes.
And here's where it gets, like, really interesting. Because that AI content engine, it's influencing viral trends. You might have heard of Italian brain rot.
Oh, yeah. That term's been popping up.
It's that, you know, hyper-specific, often nonsensical, really repetitive content spreads like wildfire across platforms. Started on TikTok, sure, but it's everywhere now. YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels.
Even Roblox games, I've heard.
Right. And while it often starts as just, like, harmless, absurd humor.
Yeah, pretty weird stuff sometimes.
Because it's generated and spread so fast, the content can very easily pick up inappropriate stuff. Offensive language, politically charged things.
Exactly. And that's the takeaway for you listening. The need for critical thinking. Mm-hmm. Just because something looks slick, viral, highly edited, doesn't mean it's fact-checked.
Or even appropriate. For you,
yeah.
Or especially for younger users.
Precisely. You have to question what you're seeing.
Okay, so if that's the risk with emerging AI content, let's pivot to two platforms pretty much everyone uses. YouTube first.
Okay.
Officially, it's 13 plus. We all know that. But we also know younger kids are definitely on there. So the platform offers two main ways to manage this. You can use YouTube Kids.
Right, separate app.
Which limits content based on these broad age categories, like preschool, younger, ages 5 to 8, or older, 9 to 12.
Or the alternative is setting up supervised accounts within the main YouTube app.
Yes. And that's where a parent can choose content settings like Explore, which is roughly 9 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Explore More, generally 13 plus. Or most of YouTube, which is, well, most of YouTube, but still filters out mature content.
And what's critical here, I think, is linking that choice directly to the actual risk. Often, the biggest issue on YouTube isn't just one bad video, it's
screen time.
Excessive screen time, yeah. Driven by that relentless autoplay feature and the algorithms.
The rabbit hole effect.
Exactly. Choosing a more restrictive, supervised setting helps you manually fight back against that feed, just pulling you, or a younger user, into an algorithmic spiral, where you might suddenly see just tons of negative content about one specific topic.
That's a really good way to frame it. Linking the setting to the risk. Okay, so if YouTube is about managing the algorithm, WhatsApp is different. It's more about social pressure, right?
That's a great way to put it, yes. It's also 13 plus, officially.
Yeah.
And the advisories point out some unique mechanics around group chats and blocking, things most users probably overlook.
Okay, tell us about that.
So what's really fascinating, or maybe worrying, is a key detail about group chats. Everyone in that group sees all the messages.
Okay, standard enough.
But crucially, if you have blocked another user individually, that block doesn't work in the group.
Wait, what?
That person you blocked. They can still see your messages in the group chat, and they can still respond to you within that group context.
Yeah.
Blocking only works one-to-one.
Hold on. So the minute I'm in a shared group chat, that basic safety feature blocking someone, it just disappears.
Effectively, yes, for that specific interaction space.
Wow. That is a huge oversight. I guarantee most people have no idea. That makes group dynamics potentially much riskier than they seem.
Exactly. That detail, that's the nugget you really need to know. So the actionable advice here is kind of twofold. First, proactively check your privacy settings, specifically who can add you to groups in the first place.
Good point. Limit that possibility.
And second, make sure you know you can leave any group chat at any time. No obligation to stay. The platform does have tools like ChatLock, and they're integrating Meta AI now.
Right, the AI assistant.
But those features don't replace the need to actively manage your social interactions and be aware of that blocking loophole.
Okay, so pulling this all together.
Yeah.
What does this all mean for you listening? The recurring theme, really, across all these sources, whether it's AI or YouTube or WhatsApp, is this need for proactive digital management.
Mm-hmm. Being active, not passive.
We're talking about using parental controls, if applicable, yes.
Mm.
But also having open communication about why certain apps are used, what the risks are, and making sure every user knows exactly how blocking and reporting tools actually work in specific situations, like that group chat loophole.
Absolutely. That foundational knowledge, that awareness, it really is your ultimate defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this raises a final, maybe provocative question for you to think about. We see operating systems like iOS, for example, constantly updating, adding features to manage content and filter things for us, automatically deciding what we see.
Right, trying to make things safer or cleaner.
But as that happens, as platforms increasingly automate this filtering, how do we make sure that users you retain and actually develop your own critical thinking skills, that ability to question, to evaluate, to manage the information flow yourself, especially in places like WhatsApp where the content is so peer-driven and less algorithmically curated? That skill, that's probably the most valuable digital skill you can possess going forward.
Mm. Food for thought. How much do we rely on the tech versus our own judgment? Really important question.